Hi, today is February 9th, 2019, and this is Comics Use Podcast 104. I know I said this last time, but I was wrong. It was 103 last time. Anyway, this is real. And Jay Stone and I are back 2 weeks in a row. It's kind of a record. and we're going to talk about the late, great Stan Lee, who actually passed away a few months ago in November. But we didn't have a chance to talk about him. And hey, we can't ignore Stan Lee, even if we're months late.
Stan the man.
Yep. And, to me, as a kid, he was the first comic book creator who had a personality. You know, I felt like I knew him or knew of him. A lot of other comic books, they had the creators' names, somewhere in the first couple of pages. But many of them were anonymous, even though I could read their names. A few became familiar to me as the years passed and I became more familiar with comics, but Stan Lee was always like way up front in the Marvel comics. Didn't you think so, Jay?
Well, he seemed to speak directly to the reader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Because you had the letter column.
Yep.
And didn't he write he wrote stuff other than the comic, right? At one time, didn't he write a column?
You mean
that's not a letter column, but he wrote something, right? Didn't he write something?
He wrote Stan's bullpen. Yeah.
Yes. That's what it was.
Yeah, where he would talk about the process and the people, mostly the people, really. And that's where the nicknames came, right? So, Jack King Kirby and Wild Bill Everett and all those kind of names.
Yeah. The King.
Yeah. Really, when we talk about Stan Lee and his creations, many of them had co-creators. Like, Spider-Man was Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and Fantastic Four and Thor and many others were Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. So, when we talk about Stan Lee's creations, we're not ignoring the co-creators. We just happen to be focusing on him today.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. So, I have a favorite Stan Lee creation, and I'm sure you do too, and mine is the Fantastic Four, which I think was the first of his superheroes I'm pretty sure the first of the superhero comics he created in the 60s.
That's the first of the Silver Age.
Yeah. And it didn't occur to me until I was probably maybe a teenager and I had read a whole bunch of Fantastic Fours and says, hey, these characters are all just recycled and yet they're amazing. Mr. Fantastic was a takeoff of Plastic Man from the 1940s and the Thing was, came from the Monster Comics that Stan Lee used to write and Invisible Girl came from, the classic Invisible Man novel, as well as many other superheroes and supervillains, and the Human Torch himself was based on the original Marvel's Human Torch from the Golden Age. So there was almost nothing original about their powers, but it was the combination of the characters that really made it interesting.
Well, they were a family, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not quite in the beginning. I mean, Sue Storm and Johnny Storm were family, but Sue Storm and Mr. and Reed Richards weren't married at the beginning of the. I think that happened like 50 issues later.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, Fantastic. Actually, I think it's probably Fantastic Four Annual Number 1, which was a number of years later.
Is when they got married.
Yeah.
Oh, but weren't they going out?
Oh yeah, they were.
Okay.
They were, but you're right. I mean, you don't have to be biologically related or married to be a family. And they certainly were from issue number 1. A very odd family, but still a family.
Well, I was reading backstory.
Yeah.
The story I read was that when DC came out with Flash of Two Worlds.
Yeah.
And then Justice League, Stan Lee's wife told him, hey, why don't you create something? And then Kirby, I didn't know Kirby created Challengers of the Unknown.
Yes, he did, for DC.
Yeah, and so he suggested, why don't we make a group like that?
Right.
And that's where the Fantastic Four came from, according to our article I read. I had no idea that was the origin of it.
And if you look at their outfits, the Fantastic Four outfits are blue, and the Challengers of the Unknown are, I want to say yellow, and sometimes purple.
I remember the purple one.
Yeah. And if you think back on the Fantastic Four number 1, and they didn't have a costume for the first issue or two, those spacesuits look like the outfits from Challengers of the Unknown.
That's true.
Yeah.
Except I never connected it.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Challengers Unknown are pretty much unknown to most people, unless you're a comic book fan like you and me.
Yeah, but they're pretty obscure.
But pretty much everybody knows the Fantastic Four, despite their awful Sony movies.
Is it Sony? No, Fox. They're Fox.
Oh, Fox.
Yeah, they're Fox movies.
Okay.
Yeah, they're awful. But, you know, the first two made a lot of money.
That's true. Even though they're terrible.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
Yeah.
I still say all you guys got to do in Hollywood is listen to our podcast.
That's right. Or just hire us.
Yes.
We're cheap.
We can make a stellar.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four movie. I mean, I would be satisfied with like 1% of proceeds.
Hey, I'm good with that.
I'm not greedy.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'll go along with another 1%.
Yeah.
And, you know, a whole bunch of other favorite characters first appeared in Fantastic Four. Black Panther, which just had a, you know, huge, I think it's now the biggest grossing Marvel movie. I'm not sure, but I think that's true.
Black Panther? Yeah. I can believe it. It was a good movie.
Yeah. Black Panther, the character, first appeared in Fantastic Four number 52.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in FF.
Yep. There was Wakanda and, you know, the vibranium and all that stuff. All that came out of Fantastic Four. And Doctor Doom, Fantastic Four number 5. Terribly, terribly rendered in the first Fantastic Four movie. Galactus, Fantastic Four number 48. And terribly, terribly, you know, visualized in the second Fantastic Four movie.
Wasn't it some kind of cloud?
Yeah, it was just awful.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Doom in the movie was like he had like lightning powers.
Yeah.
Which is like, didn't make any sense.
No. And you know, Dr. Doom is a genius, so presumably his armor could be outfitted weapons that generate that, but that was not a physically manifested power from his body as portrayed in the movie.
No, he got exposed to something, right? In the first movie?
Dr. Doom?
Yeah, and the metal started to, like, attract to his skin or something.
Yeah.
It was dumb. Whatever it was dumb.
It was so far out of canon, they should have just created another character.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Right. Galactus and the Silver Surfer, number 40, Fantastic Four 48.
Mm-hmm.
Inhumans, Fantastic Four 45, although Medusa was part of, I think, the Frightful Four a couple of issues earlier.
Yeah. And didn't she have a mask?
Yes, she did have a mask because she was a villain.
Yeah, it was. I think I remember seeing a reprint of the first appearance.
Yeah,
it was pretty awful, actually.
What, the mask?
It didn't look right. I mean, it looked horrible to me.
Well, I think Jack Kirby was just kind of visually setting up, you know, for the Inhumans, which appeared just a few issues later. So, you know, I think he was just saying, "Well, it'll look terrible now, but it'll be okay later." And the Inhumans had a terrible one season TV show.
Oh, my God. And hey.
Based in Hawaii.
Yes, which is cool.
Yeah.
Right? But the guy who played Black Bolt, he's on Discovery. Or Discover.
That's
Discovery,
right.
No, Discovery. He's Pike. Christopher Pike Captain in Star Trek Discovery.
Captain Christopher Pike.
Yeah.
That's right.
Actually, I liked him other than Lockjaw.
Lockjaw's the best.
Yes. Black Bolt was the best thing of that show. Of the 1¾ episodes that I saw.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Because we couldn't take it anymore, right?
It's so sad. It was so sad.
I know.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's awful. Marvel doesn't know how to do TV. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I had high hopes for it when I saw, I think it was Black Bolt and Lockjaw in a still appear in the middle of Bishop Street.
Yeah.
And, this could be fun, but no, it wasn't.
No, it was awful.
It was terrible. But still, the Inhumans reappeared again in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, so the concept of the characters lives on, if not the actual main Inhumans, you know, Black Bolt and Medusa and Crystal and all those folks. And the Kree, who will be much more interesting to casual fans, will be way more interesting once the Captain Marvel movie comes out. When is it, next month? This month?
I don't know, actually. I don't know when Captain Marvel comes out.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm interested in it, but not that interested.
Really?
I was interested, and then the more I see of the clips and everything, I become less interested.
Oh, that's sad.
I think it's only because the guy Jude Law plays, that's not Mar-Vell.
He's not?
Right?
I don't know. I thought he was.
No, because he doesn't act like Mar-Vell.
I don't think he is. I think he's some other character because he's mean.
Maybe he's running the accuser?
No. He's not running the accuser. He's some other... I don't think he's Mar-Vell. And I don't know. I just kind of... I don't like the whole, like, helmet look. I never did. I just thought that was silly.
I like the helmet, so okay.
I don't like the whole Mohawk helmet look. You know.
Oh, that was one of my favorite helmets from Marvel, to be honest.
With the
shark fin on top?
Oh.
I like it.
Oh.
Yeah, I always thought it was cool. Awful. It was unique.
On Yondu, it looks okay.
Yeah, but that's hair or something. It's biologic. It's biological.
On Yondu, it looks okay. Yeah. On Captain Marvel, I don't know.
The first Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell. I just looked it up, by the way. The movie Captain Marvel premieres March 8th of this year, so 1 month from now.
Okay. I mean, I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I'll probably go see it, but I'm not as excited as the first trailer. I was really excited. And then as I saw more trailers, I was like, it seems too predictable to me.
Well, let's see. What does it say here?
But who knows? I might be surprised.
Okay, IMDb. Mm-hmm. IMDb says Jude Law plays Walter Lawson Mar-Vell.
Really?
Yep, that's what IMDb says. I'm not saying they're 100% correct, but that's what it says.
Because the clip doesn't make him seem like Mar-Vell. It just seems weird.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, if he is Mar-Vell, I hope they do it right. And they don't make him into a villain or something. Like how they did in the first Mission Impossible.
Oh.
They
made
Mr. Phelps or whatever his name is into the villain.
Yeah, I hated that.
Because he doesn't seem... I don't know, the clip I saw, I felt like he was a little nasty.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that, you know. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, but that's what IMDb says.
I have a question though.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know. I never knew the answer.
Okay.
Why are some Kree blue and some Kree not?
Oh, it is okay. I don't know the comic book origin, but I can tell you this: it was one of Stan Lee. You know, Stan Lee was very socially conscious, and so one of the things he did was create a class structure amongst the Kree. To kind of denote racism.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so the blue Kree were considered the pure Kree.
Oh.
And the white Kree, the white skin, literally white skin Kree, were considered kind of inferior warrior caste or something like that.
Really? Because Mar-Vell is not blue.
No, he's not blue. He's warrior caste.
Oh.
Right? Whereas Ronan is blue, right?
Yeah. Ronan the Accuser.
So that's my understanding of it. It was kind of Stan Lee's way of flipping the racism story.
Okay, so the ones that were in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
are
the higher caste level.
Yes, yes. And you notice they were kind of in charge on the...
Well, yeah, that's true.
On the starships and whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll see how they do it in the movies. Although, you know, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular is in Marvel movie continuity.
Yeah.
So presumably they'll be consistent there. And in the last appearance of a character most people don't know, but I always love was the Watcher. And the Watcher first appeared in Fantastic Four 13.
What was his name?
Uatu.
Uatu, yeah. He had a funky name.
And the reason I say that that's interesting is because I can't remember which Marvel movie it was, but Stan Lee, you know, who makes cameos in all the movies, is revealed to be Uatu the Watcher.
Well, I didn't know he was the Watcher.
Yeah. Because
he was a Watcher.
I thought he was Uatu because he's the one watching over Earth.
Oh.
Right? And Uatu's the only one who watches over Earth.
It was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Right?
At the end.
They have to like jump. They keep on jumping.
Yeah.
To get to Ego.
Yeah.
Or something. And there's a part where they go. There's a bunch of Watchers, and Stan Lee is there.
Right,
and
he's talking
about all. Yeah. And he's talking about all the things that he saw.
Right.
Oh, so that's why you think he's Uatu.
Yeah, because he's in all the. He makes a cameo in all the Marvel movies, right? He's literally watching.
Oh, I didn't put those two together. That he was Uatu himself.
That was my interpretation.
Oh, okay.
No, after I saw that clip. After I, but you know, could be wrong. But that was my interpretation.
No, I can believe that he was the Watcher, but I never thought that he might be Watu the Watcher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any rate, so, you know, and I guess you have your own favorite Stan Lee creation.
Oh, yeah. My favorite is Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. My favorite with Steve Ditko. That was just, when I read reprints.
Yeah.
Of the first Doctor Strange, you know, and then that was back when he had a blue cloak.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he originally had a blue cloak.
That's right.
And he solved everything with the Eye of Agamotto.
Yes.
Right? It was before they had the real incantations and everything.
Right.
But, yeah, he was my favorite character from Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. I love that character. And I loved how Stan Lee would create the character, and he'd create all these secondary characters.
Right.
Right? To fill out the entire world for the character, right?
Yeah.
So, so you had Doctor Strange, and then you had Baron Mordo, who was also being taught by the same guy who was the Ancient One.
Right. Who's a girl, or the gal, in the movies, I didn't like the version of the Ancient One. And it's not a matter of being sexist. It's a matter of, well, I guess it's no spoiler. Ancient One's a bad guy, right? Essentially.
He was?
In a movie?
Oh, yeah, in the film.
In the movie, yeah.
Yes, in the film.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the comic.
No, not in the comics.
Yeah, in the film, not entirely good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes a deal with the devil.
Yeah,
I guess literally.
Yeah.
Right, and then he creates Wong, which was pretty racist back then.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that was very common in the 1960s, right? Even the Pink Panther, right? With Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau, and his, you know, his manservant... Kato, I think. Not to be confused with Green Hornet and Kato. So, you know, back in the 60s, this was, you know, I'm not saying it's right, being an Asian myself, but it was a very, very typical stereotype. The Asian manservant, the capable Asian manservant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Clea.
Yeah.
Who eventually got married to Doctor Strange.
Yes.
And then I don't know. Modern Doctor Strange comics are just too confusing to me. I think they just totally messed it up.
I haven't read the modern ones, so.
Well, you know, at one time he wasn't the Sorcerer Supreme. Someone else became the Sorcerer Supreme.
Really?
Yeah, and then I think he and Clea broke up. I don't know. I never kept up with it. And after a while, I was like, I'm not interested in this storyline anymore. You know, I like the old Doctor Strange comics.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite... Then, go ahead. I was going to say, one of my favorite, I was going to let you talk about Nightmare, but one of my favorite Doctor Strange characters was, I think, Infinity. Was it called Infinity?
Really?
The one that's,
that was, you know, Doctor Strange?
Yeah, the one that looks like a galaxy.
Is that Infinity?
Is that his name? Let me go look it up.
I don't remember.
You talk about Nightmare, and I'll go look it up.
Oh, yeah, and then I really liked Nightmare, and how, I don't remember the whole story, but it's like, he goes, you know, he's like a Morpheus.
Yeah.
In DC Comics, right? He's the ruler of a dream dimension. And I remember Doctor Strange either going into the dream dimension or his astral self into the dream dimension. He had to make his way out. And he would appear every once in a while. When I was a kid, that was kind of scary. You know, I was young.
Yeah, comics, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they think, oh my God, there's this guy who lives in your dreams, who can manipulate you and, you know, and affect you in the real world and stuff. So that was a little scary.
Yeah, sure.
And then, what is it? I'm the most stupid name, Dormammu.
Okay. Now, I saw that in your show notes, and I'm going to argue against that. But you go ahead. You start.
Well, I saw a clip.
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Right.
Who couldn't really think of a good name.
Okay.
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 For that character.
Right.
He went, Dormammu. He just made it up. It was like a stupid name. And when I was reading it, I was like, well, that doesn't even sound, you know, scary to me.
Right.
I mean, he's scary looking, right? He's got like a fire for a face.
Right.
Right. He's in this weird dimension and everything.
Right.
But Dormammu, I mean, it just, even Nightmare was scary to me because he looks scary and he invades your dreams.
Right.
But Dormammu, I don't know. It just seems silly. I always thought that was a silly name. It didn't make sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you why I thought it was okay. And basically, I had this thought years after I first started reading Doctor Strange as a kid, when I learned about H.P. Lovecraft. And, you know, Lovecraft's stories often had demonic and other kinds of creatures with these wacky names, right?
Oh, okay.
Like the call of the, you know, Cthulhu and things like that. Uh-huh. So to me, that was an offshoot of that. And, you know, and certainly Dormammu, the character, would have fit quite well in an H.P. Lovecraft story.
I don't know. I never read any Lovecraftian stories. But, I mean, he couldn't come up with a better name. He didn't know what to call it. And so he just came up with this name.
Yeah.
That's the clip I remember seeing.
I can't remember. Anyway, there's a character that essentially embodies the entire universe in Doctor Strange. And he is portrayed as kind of being, you know, visually, looks like half his body is a galaxy of stars and planets and gaseous, nebulous, nebula-like objects and the rest of it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the character, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
I remember him being drawn by Gene Colan.
Yeah. I just remember thinking, that is a really, really cool look.
No, it is. Yeah, I like that character.
Yeah.
Maybe more than some of the other cosmic characters.
Yeah.
That they have.
And that's the other thing, right? There are lots and lots of cosmic characters in the comics, you know, because of the nature of the comics.
I think one of the things I really liked that I think made things different for, you know, Stan Lee characters and for Marvel, that really set the stage is that, and he talked about it. He would go on. I remember him going on to Thick of the Night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Thick of the Night with Alan Thicke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had a late night talk show.
Eternity.
So
that was the name of the character.
Oh, Eternity.
Yeah.
There you go. Not Sorry. Eternity, but close enough.
Yeah.
So I remember Stan Lee going on to Thick of the Night, and then he talked about comic books. And he was talking about how he always tried to make sure that they had some kind of flaw, some kind of Achilles heel that made them more human or relatable.
Right.
Right? And that they had, you know, real feelings, real problem, right? Like Peter Parker, right? He has, like, high school problems because he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Right? You know? Because I remember one, I don't know if it was in a Fantastic Four or Spider-Man. I remember reading this story where he actually goes to the Fantastic Four and wants to become part of the Fantastic Four and then get paid.
Yeah, that was like Fantastic Four number 4, I think.
Right, and they say, well, we don't get paid. And he was like,
Right.
You know, and then he like leaves, right?
Right.
Just like even Doctor Strange, right? Doctor Strange, he's not a likable character. That's one of the things I liked about it. You know, usually the heroes are likable characters from the beginning. Right. There's something about them that you sympathize with.
Right.
But they purposely wrote Doctor Strange as an unlikable person.
Yeah, that's true.
He was arrogant. He thought too much of himself. He was rich. You know, he was selfish. He was haughty, right? And it's only after he has his accident, right, and then he's humbled by that experience because he loses his hands, right?
Right.
As a surgeon. And so that makes him seek out, you know, the ancient one as a way to, you know, cure himself.
Right.
Right. And the funny thing is that it works, right? He learns magic.
Yes.
Right. He can cure himself, but he never goes back to being a doctor to help, you know, sick people. Right.
Yeah.
Or becomes a surgeon again.
I think there are a couple, and by couple, I mean like one or two storylines in which he's forced to actually practice medicine again as a surgeon.
Oh, really? I don't remember.
And it's a real traumatic event because, you know, his hands still aren't fixed, right, from their shattered state or whatever, or it might be just a psychological problem. But I'm trying to remember. It was one of the real early comics, like in the, you know, number 50 or something like that. But
and then, I think that was one of the first comic superhero that I read that wasn't a likable character from the beginning, like as part of his origin story.
Yeah.
You know, and the adversity he had to overcome was his own personality.
Right. I'm trying to remember if Tony Stark as Iron Man was kind of like that, but I can't remember.
I've never actually read the first. I've read origin stories.
Yeah.
But they were origin stories that weren't in. I've never read, like, the original Iron Man.
Yeah.
I've only read his origin story
as it was told, you know, decades later.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I don't know if he was like that. Yeah. I know what they gave to Tony, though, is they made him an alcoholic.
Yeah, I think, and they, I'm trying to remember, but, you know, I think the allegory of Iron Man in, and I'm trying to remember, did Stan Lee create Iron Man too? I think so.
I would think so, because he's part of the Avengers and he was a Kirby creation.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else would be writing it.
Yeah. So the allegory of Iron Man is he's literally the Tin Man, right? So Tony Stark, the human, is in search of a heart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And
yeah, that was his Achilles heel.
Right.
He couldn't survive without the suit.
Right. Because that shrapnel was embedded too near the heart to operate, and the suit kind of kept it away and kept his heart beating. And so he was literally the Tin Man. He needed a heart. And, you know, the entire theme of Iron Man was trying to discover his better self, you know, despite his failings as a human being. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other characters that they created that were unlikable from the beginning, like Doctor Strange, and I'm kind of coming up short myself.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a superhero.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, usually it's someone somewhat sympathetic.
Right.
You know, I mean, Peter Parker is nerdy, but he's not an evil person.
No. In fact, that's what makes him likable.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he makes one mistake.
Yeah.
That his uncle pays for. And he pays for the rest of his life.
Right.
Right. But that's about it. I mean, you feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
But when you start reading Doctor Strange, you really don't feel bad for this guy.
Like, no.
This guy's a jerk.
Right.
Why am I reading this?
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
He's not a sympathetic character in the beginning.
No.
At all.
And the thing is this, right? He becomes the Sorcerer Supreme.
Right.
He's got these magic powers, but he can't fix his hands. That's what makes me think it's a psychological thing.
As I mentioned, that story, well, boy, I can't think of where it is, that storyline where, you know, he has to operate, and this is post, you know, post becoming the sorcerer, you know, it's a huge, huge problem for him. Yeah, I'm still looking through this list of characters, that giant list of characters, I should say, that Stan Lee co-created, and I'm not seeing any hero that is unlikable in the beginning. It's pretty interesting that you pointed out. I never thought of that.
I mean, even X-Men, right?
Yeah.
People don't like them, but that doesn't mean they're not likable characters.
That's true.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're all, even the Hulk, right?
Maybe especially the Hulk.
I mean, he's just a poor guy who gets in this experiment and he can't control himself, right? Because back then, the original Hulk was gray. He wasn't green.
Right.
And he turned at night. It wasn't rage.
Was it only at night? I think you're right.
I remember correctly.
I think you're right.
The original Hulk, it was like, you know, Wolfman kind of thing.
He was the Wolfman, yeah.
Basically. Well, not with the moon, but, you know, when the sun went down, he became the Hulk. He really couldn't control it.
He was a creature of the night.
Which was more tragic. I mean, Stan Lee made a lot of the characters tragic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they didn't really want to be a hero or something like that. They were reluctant.
Yeah.
Or something.
You know, it's funny, though, you know, now that you say that, there are also the opposite. There's a number of hero characters that became unlikable as time went on. I'm thinking about Reed Richards, for example.
Yeah.
You know, he became unlikable as the years went on, whereas in the beginning, he had kind of that avuncular or father-like quality to him. But he became less and less. You know, he became colder and more distant and really kind of annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of writers don't know how to write Fantastic Four properly.
Mm.
That's my opinion. And I think it's their stereotype of Reed Richards being the smartest man on the planet, then obviously he just has to be associated with mathematics or science or, you know, being out of touch with the rest of humanity because he's so smart.
Right.
And that's a very narrow view of what intelligence is.
And it's an unfair characterization of genius.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I feel like I feel like a lot of writers don't like him as a character at all. And so they make him more one-dimensional than he needs to be.
And this is post-Stan Lee, right? So
Yeah.
Stan Lee never characterized him like that, as I can remember.
No, not the early stuff, no.
Yeah. Or even Ant-Man, you know, Hank Pym, the Hank Pym version of Ant-Man, I should say, the original Ant-Man. Very likable, sympathetic character, and he becomes this really terrible human being.
Yes.
In the hands of other writers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope that doesn't happen in the movie, because in the movie can't. Well, he does, actually, right? Hank Pym in a movie is unlikable.
You mean Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas' version of Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's a crotchety old guy.
Right?
Yeah, he's a curmudgeon.
So it's already happened.
They made him into a curmudgeon. Yeah. He's just not a wife beater.
Yeah. And he did invent Ultron, as he did in the comics.
Which is wrong.
Right.
Completely wrong.
Right. It's created by...
They created Ultron somehow. Yeah. Somehow they should have tied it together that Pym technology is in Ultron.
Well, not only that, but the Vision, which I think wasn't created by Jack Kirby. I got to go look that up. But in the comics, the Vision was not only not created by... Okay, so Ultron was created by Hank Pym in the comic books. It was created by, what, Tony Stark and Bruce Banner in the movies?
Ultron?
Yeah.
Ultron was created by Tony Stark, I think, in the movies. Right.
And the Vision is essentially created by Tony Stark, because it's Jarvis, right?
In the movies.
In the movies. In the comic books, well, it's really weird in the comic books. But in the comic books, it's a combination of the original Human Torch, the android, and Wonder Man, which has never appeared in the movies or TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But anyway. Wasn't he created by Ultron?
The Vision, yes, he was.
Yes.
But Ultron used the original Human Torch's android body.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow Wonder Man, I know, the mental patterns of Wonder Man were used.
Yeah, that never made a lot of sense to
create the personality or something.
Okay, it's a comic book, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You just accept it. It's a comic book.
Yeah. But, well, at any rate, we could go on probably for days talking about Stan Lee's co-creations or creations, but...
Excelsior,
yeah. Make mine
true
Marvel.
Believers.
Yeah, he sure had a lot of taglines, didn't he?
Yeah, best one ever. Excelsior. Because I don't know if you remember the Saturday morning cartoon, they had the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
It was like Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four Hour or something.
Right, right, right.
Or Incredible Hulk, Amazing Spider-Friends. I forget what it was.
Yeah, me too. I know what you mean.
But you actually would hear Stan Lee's voice.
You know, I didn't know that.
I remember this. I remember. I remember him saying, you know, it's saying something in the cartoon. And then he would say, Excelsior.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I kind of remember. I think I remember anyway. I could be wrong, but. I think he did some of the voiceovers for the Amazing Spider-Man cartoon also.
You mean the original?
The original, yeah. The one with, you know, the classic song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think he did that one too. But yeah, he really changed the way superheroes were portrayed. Some mostly for the better, some for the worse. I mean, you know, I think some superheroes are way too flawed now.
Well, you know, I don't want to say blame Frank Miller or Alan Moore, but maybe that's not the right thing. But I mean, it's a legacy from that time.
Yeah.
From that 80s time when
the darkness,
the deconstruction of the superhero and it's never really disappeared because so many people were influenced by that. They want to, maybe I'm being too harsh. Instead of creating something new, they just want to rehash old things.
Yeah, well, you're right. And during that period that happened, what was Alan Moore's Mr. Miracle? No, something Miracle Man, right? Miracle. Which completely tore apart, deconstructed Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel, Shazam, not the Marvel Captain Marvel, and made him unrecognizable. And then we had things like Irredeemable later on, and some others that deconstructed Superman and a whole bunch of other people.
Well, there's Injustice, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's which is based on the game.
Right.
Right. Which is actually, it's actually a really good comic. I mean, I used to pick it up when Tom Taylor was writing it, and then I just kind of stopped because it was like, I can't afford it anymore. But the very first initial issues, but it's so dark.
Yeah.
It's so dark.
I should note, you know, as we draw to an end, this podcast an end, one of the great things, and I mentioned to you the other week, I think that, you know, I started subscribing to Comixology Unlimited after DC was added to the mix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never read Injustice. So I think it's amongst the, you know, items in the Comixology Unlimited library that I can borrow, I can check out. So,
oh, you don't, you can watch it in DC Universe.
Hmm? Oh, you mean the movie? I mean the animated movie?
No, DC Universe. The streaming.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was going to check out the comic book version.
You can watch it. Yeah. Or not watch it. You can read it.
Oh, okay. It's there, too?
They added Injustice Gods Among Us.
Oh, okay.
Onto DC Universe. They added so much stuff. I've been reading so much stuff.
Yeah.
Recently. Because I like the Wildstorm characters.
Hmm.
So they put on the new Wildstorm. So they have... Oh, nice. You should check it out. They have a lot of... free, well, I should say free, you're paying for it, right? But on the DC Universe streaming service,
yeah,
they just added ton of comics and good ones, not just crappy ones.
Yeah.
And they promised to do like whole story arcs. Because before you would get maybe three issues.
Right.
And missing one.
Yes, I hated that.
That was like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
What's the point? You know, I'd read it and go, I don't know how it ends.
Right. And it's funny to say that because I think I told you, or I not told you, but I discussed this with you right after our DC Universe subscription started last fall, is there was a Legion of Superheroes early series that was available briefly. And I was all excited because part of that series was the second part of a comic book I could never find as a kid. And that was part two of the story of the adult Legion of Superheroes. But guess what was missing in that series?
The first part.
The second part. That I've never read. So it had the first part, which I have the physical comic book. But so I still don't know how that story ends after, you know, decades and decades later.
Who knows? Maybe you should search for it. Maybe they put it on.
Yeah, maybe. Know. Or maybe it's in Comixology. So now that I have two sources to look for. But, you know, I'll say one thing. If I don't know if I've seen any duplicates in Comixology and DC Universe, but in Comixology comic book reader is so much better than DC Universe's reader.
That is true.
So if I can find it on DC, I'm sorry, if I can find it on Comixology, I prefer to read it there because it's such a much more superior reading experience.
So have you hit any limits into what you can borrow?
Not so far.
Wow.
I just borrow stuff, and then as I finish, I return them. So, you know, I think if you practice good Comixology Unlimited hygiene, you know, you borrow after you finish reading, you don't hit that limit. I've probably got 10 checked out right now.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
You can only read so quickly.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I've got the reason I have 10 checked out, by the way, is I check out different comics on different devices. So I've got some comics on my phone from, you know, I'm standing in an elevator or something waiting for something to happen. I'll read, you know, a couple of panels. And then for other things, I have it on my, you know, my iPad for longer form reading. So, you know, that's why I have, you know, different comics checked out in different places, different devices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
You know, my daughters don't.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't either.
Comic book movies.
Yes.
And they watch my older daughter watched comic book TV shows.
Yeah.
My younger daughter doesn't. My older daughter does.
Yeah.
Because I did when she was growing up, and she still watches those cartoons.
Right.
But one thing I must say is, when they found out Stan Lee died, they were shocked.
Really?
Well, yeah, because they watch all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, comic books to them and who Stan Lee is and who he was. They love the cameos.
Yeah.
You know, and so they look forward to seeing, hey, where's Stan Lee in this movie?
Yeah.
You know, where's his cameo? And they were actually kind of sad to know that from now on, he'll never appear in another, you know, Marvel movie, right? Besides whatever he's already filmed.
Right. I think there are three or four in the can.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that just shows the, you know, how wide of an appeal Stan Lee had in popular culture.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to connect with, you know, people who are so young, who've never read a comic.
Yeah.
But still enjoy, if not the original stories, the
movie version.
I don't know if the flavor or, you know, the essence of what the characters are.
Right.
Because in reality, the best Marvel movies are ones that still retain the at least some essence of the original character, in my mind. Those are the ones I enjoy the most.
Right.
You know, when they don't, then it to me, it falls flat. It's not capturing the spirit of the character.
Like Fantastic Four and...
Oh, God. Awful. Just awful. And it's atrocious because it's one of... I mean,
it's my favorite Stan Lee co-creation.
Well, that's true. But, you know, they've had multiple cartoons.
Which are good.
Yeah, which are pretty good, right?
Yeah.
They've had multiple cartoons. They are fantastic. It's a fantastic team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have such well-developed characters, you know, well-developed characterization personalities in the comics.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems just perfect. It's like it's the Incredibles. I mean, it's a superhero family. How do you mess that up? But
they did it three times so far.
I know they do it every single time. How can you have Kree? Like you rattled off a huge list, right?
Yeah.
How do you mess up Kree, Galactus,
Silver Surfer, Doctor Doom?
I mean, the content is there. You just have to tap into it. It's not like, let's be honest, it's not like when Iron Man first came out, people were all like, who? You know, it's not like everyone knew Iron Man.
Right.
He was an obscure, for most of the public, kind of an obscure character.
That's true.
It's not like Spider-Man. I mean, no. Spider-Man is like, everyone in the world knows Spider-Man. He's right. Like Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman.
Yeah, agreed.
He is like... I mean, how many comics do they have at one time of Spider-Man? Like six or whatever?
Lots.
It's ridiculous. He's like their most well-known property in the world, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's going to be easy to sell a Spider-Man movie, even junk ones.
Yeah.
Right? So how can you get Iron Man right and you mess up Fantastic Four? I just don't get it. I never have.
Well, they managed to do it three times in a row. What can I say?
I know. And I don't have enough faith in any of the Marvel studios that they're going to get it right. I don't know what it is. I just don't think they can get that one right. I really don't. I have no faith. I mean, I know they're going to become under Disney.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, Disney bought Fox.
Well, I think if they stick to the Jack Kirby or Stan Lee Jack Kirby version of Fantastic Four versus some of the later incarnations, you know, the white suit Fantastic Four and those people I don't like too much, I think they'll be okay.
There was
okay.
A white suit Fantastic Four?
Yeah, there was a... Oh, gosh, I'm reading it now, actually.
Why would you wear white?
I don't know, but they all have white suits with, like, black, you know, accents.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's filthy looking.
Why would you?
All the dirt would go.
I don't even understand that.
I'll send you the reference. It's. I should also note that one of the things, you know, before we sign off, one of the things I do have that I've got on my list of, and I actually bought this one. I've got Fantastic Four Masterpiece number one to read. That's the first, I don't know, 8-10 issues of Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is number 1 through 10, I think. Yeah.
Those are pretty good comics for the time.
It was awesome. So, you know, I think I'll reread that pretty soon.
That's when Thing didn't look like Thing.
He was more blobby.
He was like a blob.
Yeah.
You know, before he became Rocky.
Right.
Like rock-like, not right. Balboa.
Yeah. I should also note, you know, I should comment to you since you're more up to date on this stuff than me. You know, I think I mentioned to you earlier, like many podcasts ago, that I'm really not familiar with the Teen Titans after, you know, the George Perez period.
I'm really not myself.
Well, you know, so the Marv Wolfman, George Perez is probably the most recent Teen Titans I know. I'm reading the Teen Titans now. Oh, gosh.
The current one?
No, I'm sorry. By now, I mean I'm reading issues of the Teen Titans currently.
The current version?
I don't know. It's from like the early 2000s or late 1990s. But Cyborg is like this Terminator, like a T-2000 kind of, you know, liquid metal thing.
Yes. That was the time when he was gold, right?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Anyway, We'll talk about this one of these days when we have so much to talk about because we've been kind of of irregular.
I've been pretty busy.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty, so we'll bring this one to an end. This is the actual Comics News Podcast 104 versus last week, which was 103. And this week we talk about Stan Lee. Thanks, Jay. We'll talk to you again later.